One of the very basic questions that I think the human heart of modern day, one of the questions that the human heart of modern day asks or wonders, whether people know they ask this question or whether they don't know that they ask this question, I think we all contend with this, whether we go to church on Sundays, whether we don't go to church on Sundays, whether we've ever heard of God, whether we live a life of faith, whether we are a professed atheist, no matter what we are, one of the questions, especially in the modern day, that the human heart contends with is this question: does God actually have anything meaningful to say to me? Does God have anything meaningful to say to me about my life, about my experiences, about my questions, about my desires, about all of the things that happen to me? Does God have anything meaningful to say to me? One of the reasons I think that we are asked this question a lot, or whether this question is put to the human heart, is because we live in a world that is absolutely full of what it calls answers to this question. Answers that lead absolutely nowhere. Or if they do lead somewhere, they don't lead to a place that brings a true decision, a true answer, that it doesn't bear true fruit. It may bear temporary fruit. It may bring a temporary easing of the human mind, of the human heart. But we are absolutely stuffed full of a world that offers distractions, that offers us what we want to be answers but are not answers. And Jesus, in today's gospel especially, as he is here in the upper room with his disciples speaking to them about what's most important, contends with this actual question that he knows is on their minds, and that he knows is not only on their minds, but on the minds of every human that's going to come after them. He speaks these words not just to his apostles, but also to his church, to us today. And Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. I have reflected on this particular sentence a lot, especially my life in seminary and training to become a priest, and now as a priest. It's a phrase that comes back to me very often because it's a phrase that I feel the weight of on a very regular basis. It's a very common experience for me to wake up in the morning and feel like I just don't know. Like I just don't know what happens next. I don't know what happens today. I don't know what God's going to ask of me. Or better yet, I do know what God is going to ask of me, and I just feel like, I just can't. I'm not able. I don't have it. It's almost akin to maybe if any of you here were a parent for the first time ever, when you experience becoming a mother or father for your first child, and all of a sudden you're holding this baby in your arms, and you're like, uh-oh. What next? Yeah. There's a different kind of weight, perhaps, that your heart begins to understand in that moment, because you look at this child and you say to yourself, I am now partly responsible for the eternal salvation of another human being, and I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't even know how to change a diaper. But I can't escape this. I can't escape this. It can be a very, very scary thing. Now, I don't actually have children, but my brother and sister, they have kids. I've had conversations with them about this very thing. Being a parent is not altogether different from, for example, becoming a priest. Because in one form or another, you and I eventually deal with life realities that are above us, that are beyond us, that we have questions about, that we're not prepared for, and we don't exactly escape them, for good or for bad. Child's a very beautiful thing. Priesthood's a very beautiful thing. But even in the midst of those even good realities, let's not even talk about the bad realities that we know are out there that plague us. Even with the good realities, even with the good things in life, we are not equipped we're just not. And we are asked this question, whether we know it or not. Does God have anything meaningful to say to me about this? Does God actually have something meaningful to say? Does his desire for me actually make a difference? Will it actually change me? Will it actually help me? And it's a question that, as St. John says in the second reading, we answer in one of two ways. We either answer, as St. John says, in word or speech, or we answer that question in deed and in truth. Notice that here, as we go back to the gospel, at the end of this gospel, what does Jesus say to his apostles that have been with him for 3 years? Jesus says, "This is how my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." I just assumed they were already his disciples. They've been with the man for 3 years. They've been watching Jesus do all of these extraordinary things. They've listened to the words of God himself, of the God of the universe, words that literally speak life. They've listened to this man for 3 years, and Jesus says, "You need to become my disciples." As if they are not already. Or as if maybe they're not exactly where the Lord needs them to be yet. And we know that that's true because we follow the story. We know what happens after this. We know that what happens after this, they prove to the Lord that they aren't quite ready to be the disciples that Jesus needs them to be because they run away. They're afraid. They're scared. They're not even there when he dies. They're extremely afraid when he comes back to life and makes himself before them. And the Gospels say they're incredulous. They're in disbelief. They're amazed. They're happy. But they're still kind of like, oh, I don't know. They know that even as they follow the risen Jesus for 40 days, they're still like, oh, I'm not ready. 10 days after that, no, we're not ready. We're waiting. Right? We know that it isn't until they receive the power of God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit that they actually become able to do something. But without Jesus, they can do nothing. That sentence admits of zero exceptions. Zero. Zero. Without Jesus, you and I can do, we can't do anything. We can't do anything. And you know how Jesus proves that this sentence is true? Do you know how he proves that to us? By placing us in situations that are above our ability, where we look at a situation, whether bad or whether we're good, and we say to ourselves, I don't even know how to change a diaper. I don't have what it takes. I can't do anything. We know that that's true in the beautiful things of life, the important things of life. We know that we don't have what it takes to love our spouse, not on our own. We don't have what it takes to love our children well, not on our own. We don't have what it takes to live out our vocation, our profession well, not by ourselves, not by our own strength. We certainly don't have what it takes to live through those situations that overwhelm us, that are difficult, that hurt, that involve suffering, that we don't understand, that happen for no apparent reason. Jesus puts those situations to us until we finally get to a point where we throw our hands up and we say, I can't do it. And the Lord says, now you're getting it. Now you're getting it. You see, God bless us. We're just not convinced about God, really, until we're overwhelmed. This is true of me. And I'm a priest. I think this is true of us. We're actually here sitting in church. How many people never go to church? And if this is true of me, and if this is true of us, this is true of everybody. Where sooner or later, as we throw up our hands and we're like, God, I can't. I can't, and only you can. And the Lord says, yeah, now you're getting it. Now you're getting it. So, does it stink for us to have to be uncomfortable? Absolutely. I hate it. I don't like being uncomfortable. I'm not there yet. There are some disciples in the world. There are some faithful souls in the world that have no problem with suffering, that have no problem with pain, that welcome these things. And that's not our natural tendencies, and it's not mine. And that's growth in my own life that I need. That's a new anointing of the Holy Spirit that God still needs to give me, that I still need to ask for every day. And the only way that I am ever going to be able to ask for that is if I actually find myself in a position where I have to ask for it. And the only way that you are ever going to be able to have the power to ask for that help is if God puts you in a position where you have to ask for it. And so despite the discomforts of life, despite the things in life that overwhelm us, the Lord knows. He saw it from all eternity. And he speaks into that reality today. And he says, do you want to know what? In case you haven't figured it out yet, without me, you can't do anything. Only I have the power to give you the ability to produce fruit that lasts. And ain't that what we made for? That's what we're made for. And so this gospel is not simply a gospel that overwhelms us and that places the weight of life in front of us and say, here, deal with it. Ugh. Now Jesus says, I enter into that weight and I have power to bear it in you so that you're not simply victorious in a way that the world tries to make you victorious in these temporary distractions, in these sort of squirrely ways off to the side that actually lead to nothing whatsoever. What I offer to you is a narrow way that's hard to find, that's hard to walk, and that leads to life which is eternal. And that's a beautiful message. It's a beautiful message that we need to hear, that we hear in today's gospel, that Paul in his own life heard, that he was even able to go so far as to risk his very life for it, because only God could do that in him. And he wasn't capable of it on his own. And St. John couldn't do that on his own. Only God was capable. Only God made it capable for St. John to even be able to speak these words, to write these words. And he does the same in your heart. He does the same in my heart. And for that, we can give thanks to God. Whether what it is, whatever it is we life in life that we deal with is beautiful or disheartening, whether good or whether bad, the Lord's providence is with us to raise us up. So now a very short transition into what I spoke about last weekend, which I said that we were going to finish up this weekend, which is our official DSA commitment weekend. We spoke about this, which we do every year, about how we as a church respond in power to the needs before us. Not only do we say this individually as humans, not only do we say this as a parish community, we say this very thing as a diocese. Yeah, we can't. We just can't. But we know that the Lord can, and we know that the Lord empowers us to participate with that as well. And so what we're going to do at this point, if you are on the end of the pews, you have been volunteered this morning to please kindly pass an envelope to all of the folks in your pews. And there are pencils in the pews. If you need a pen, the pens are also being brought up. At this moment, I think, Rich, there is a video that you are ready to perhaps cue up. And this is the video that the bishop provides for the whole all the dioceses. All the parishes get to hear this message directly from Bishop Boyer himself. I didn't know this, but last week, as I was mentioning all the things that DSA were for, I didn't know that the bishop was actually going to copy me. So he he stole from me. No, I didn't know, but we actually are saying very similar things. You can read about it in the bulletin. It's basically the same things as well that the bishop will say. So this is our shepherd's own words about what DSA is and why it is that as Catholics we come together as an entire diocesan community to provide for those needs. not only for our individual families or parishes, but needs that we as a diocese are only able to give when we give all together. So Rich, I'll have you play that video now.
My sisters and brothers in Christ, as our Witness to Hope campaign activities wind to their conclusion, I want to thank you for your commitment to the success of this momentous effort to invest in the future to advance our shared mission. Now, I ask you to join me and join together in support of our annual Diocesan Services Appeal to sustain the ongoing work of our church in our diocese. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord is the theme of our 2018 DSA. It reminds us that each of us is called to discipleship, to actively grow in faith, and to go and share the good news with the world. For several years now, we in the Diocese of Lansing have been advancing in our shared journey to evangelize our household of faith, our lost sheep, and reaching out to the court of the Gentiles. This requires God's continued blessing on our efforts, our own prayerful persistence, and the generous sharing of the gifts provided through God's grace. Supporting the DSA is one way to participate personally in this new evangelization. Among many dozens of ministries across the diocese, your gifts will give life to our men's and women's vocation discernment groups, the St. Francis Retreat Center and its many programs, the Unashamed High School Conference, formation of our seminarians, faith-based counseling in our Catholic Charities agencies, our men's and women's annual conferences, and our Faith magazine. Vitally important is the impact these efforts have in our parishes, where so much of the church's evangelizing work occurs in the activities of everyday life. Diocesan participation with programs such as Evangelical Catholic, Alpha, and the recently initiated Grow and Go are bringing energy and light to our parishes. Our new teacher retreat is helping our Catholic schools to build intentional disciples, servant leaders in their communities. Our collective support will be used to achieve far more than any individual or any single parish could accomplish alone. May you be blessed for all that you do for one another. This year, we have one very special opportunity to gather together as a unified community of faith. I invite you to join in our Made for Happiness Diocesan Assembly on Saturday, September 22nd. I have asked that all Saturday Masses that day be canceled so our priests may be present. It will begin with a Eucharistic procession from the Cathedral to the Breslin Center in East Lansing, where we hope to have 10,000 or more people gathered to reflect on the evangelization of our culture. What an opportunity! What better way to go and announce the gospel of the Lord?
I have to tell you, I'm just very personally thankful to Bishop Boyer. I love that man. He's an excellent shepherd for our diocese. I'm so happy to the Lord that we have him as our leader. And as I mentioned last weekend, the DSA is just a very beautiful way, as Bishop Boyer said, that we participate as a whole diocese, an excellent, so to speak, diocesan Catholic charity that helps us to reach out to all of our brothers and sisters. So I officially filled out my envelope yesterday at the 4:15 Mass and gave my envelope at the 4:15 Mass. But what we'll do now is offer each of us here just a minute or two of brief silence to give you the moment, either with your pen or your pencil, to pray about a contribution to this diocesan effort altogether. These envelopes will be collected at the normal offertory, so you can just put them in the baskets if you have that available to you today. If you don't have that available to you today and would like to do so maybe next week or the week after, that's certainly welcome as well. And the directions are pretty much on there. We all know how to do filling out our names and our addresses, and if you have a check, who to write it out to and things like that. So I'll just take a minute or two of silence to allow us to complete this process, and then we will continue with Holy Mass.